continue to listen to God's word. From Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 through 48, Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, "You have heard that it was said, 'Love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends his rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even the pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." Some of you have heard this story before, but several years ago I was in the mountain province where we have a church in Mount Dada. And there actually is hailstorms come in that high mountainous part of the Philippines. And I was so surprised when big pieces of ice came down from heaven. And the following day, I was with one of our Nazarene lay people who was a potato farmer. And he took me up into his potato field. It's right in front of the Mount Dada Church, and you have to go up this steep little hill to get to his potato field. And for about 1 hour, we talked about potatoes with Mong Teddy. And he showed me in his potato field that there was severe damage from the hailstorm. And he was one of the founders of our church there in Mount Dada, a very solid person on the zone there and on our district. And I looked at his potato field and realized that it was quite decimated by that hailstorm. And I looked around in his neighbor's potato fields, those who were not Nazarenes, probably not Christians, and they were equally devastated and equally decimated. God sends his rain on the just and on the unjust, on the righteous and on the unrighteous, equally. Sometimes when rain comes, it is not enough, and farmers suffer drought. Sometimes rain comes and it's just enough, and the crops that are planted blossom and grow just as the farmers intended. Sometimes rain comes and it is too much rain, and the crops are getting too much rain. And sometimes the rain comes and it's too much rain, and that is something like a typhoon. And God sends the rain, whether it is too little, or just enough, or too much, or too much, on the righteous and on the unrighteous, on the just and on the unjust. Meaning to say that God deals with all of us fairly. Meaning to say that God loves all human beings equally, whether or not they are good Nazarene lay people, or whether they are pagans, whether they are sinners, whether they are unrighteous. God loves human beings fairly and irregardless of their faithfulness to him. The world in which we live in have these natural calamities, these natural occurrences that come often. It seems more often, I don't know if that's just the way it seems, but whether it is the natural occurrence of our world ecology, or whether it is because of global warming, which in some respect human beings are involved in causing, I don't know. But nonetheless, these natural occurrences come. Quite a few years ago, there was great calamity in Ormoc, a city where Rosa is from. And I remember how many thousands of people died in that horrendous event in which the rains came down too much. And in that case, the rains came down too much and washed much of this city into the sea because of illegal logging. So I don't know if it is altogether because of the natural occurrence or because there is some complicity of human beings' disobedience to the ecological system in which we all participate. But nonetheless, there is and was calamity. In the case of Tacloban today, and Ormoc, and Samar, other parts of Leyte, Panay, I can't see that there was any complicity of human beings to add to this catastrophe, but the rains came down and the floods came up. And we still ask ourselves why. We ask God, why? Why us? Why didn't you protect us? We are your children, and those are good people who were affected severely by this typhoon. We ask of God. And it's a question that is human to ask. Certainly nothing wrong with asking that question when we raise our questions to God. A couple years ago, there was the tsunami in Japan. The people of Japan consider themselves to be living harmoniously with nature, and it was a great shock to them to think that their country would be devastated by tsunami. Part of the complicity of human beings is perhaps that their nuclear reactor was not capable of handling that degree of tsunami, I don't know. But it was not just the tsunami that occurred, there was also response. Christians came into Japan, Christians in Japan, Christians from outside Japan began to go into that place that in which very few people, very, very few people are Christians, to deal with the issues and the problems and the suffering and the calamities in Japan. In other words, there was human response, there was human participation in dealing with that kind of calamity. A few years ago here on campus, we had a five-year-old boy by the name of EJ. EJ was one of these gregarious, friendly little boys that would play outside my window, play in the front, in the entrance of the NCE building. And EJ was just one of the most gregarious, outgoing, cute little guys that our students volunteered to babysit. He was that kind of cute. And he was the son of Janet and Gregorio, Ernesto Gregorio, who work on our campus. And one day he became sick. And his mother thought it was a flu. And so after a few days, she took him to the doctor. And the doctor diagnosed that it was diphtheria. Diphtheria is quite serious. And within a week, only 7 days of his becoming ill, EJ died. And it was devastating because everybody in our community knew EJ, this beautiful little boy. And so we could ask ourselves, why? 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 And if we were not theologically astute Christians, as some of the neighbors in the barrios and barangays here in the Philippines and other places in Asia think, someone caused that diphtheria. Someone caused that illness. There was some sorcery. There was some spell. There was some masamang babae. There was some witch in the barrio who caused that or who inflicted that kind of illness upon EJ. Sometimes that is what people think, even in this part of Asia and even in this kind of sophisticated culture. There's an underlying element of animism, no? That thinks that spirits are caused or illnesses are caused by bad spirits. The community responded to that death of EJ. We found out where Janet and Ernesto lived. We went there and The crew set up some chairs in this dusty, dirty, muddy pathway in front of his house, this small house. And our crew put up rice sacks that we stitched together and brought some white plastic chairs. And there were only going to be 2 evenings possible for a wake because of the diphtheria. The government required that he be buried within 2 days. So we saw the small white casket there in the house. And one afternoon, here we come, marching down that dirty, muddy pathway in that squatter community, past hundreds of people looking at this strange parade of people. Persons from India, Myanmar, Japan, China, USA, as well as the Philippines. As I recall, Dr. Lee had high heels and stockings and a parasol-like umbrella with her coming down that squatter community, dirty, muddy pathway. Can you imagine what the community thought? Who is EJ? Just another little boy, like so many of the little boys that we saw playing in that community, but precious somehow to us. And no matter what the calamity was to EJ, the bacteria that caused the diphtheria, the fact that he had not been immunized, and if he'd started school, okay, he would have been immunized by that time. And if he'd lived in another country, another place, in the Philippines, he would have been immunized. Okay, all of that is true. But he died. And somehow God brought some degree of glory to himself by the response of this community to his death. We live in a world that is groaning for redemption. We live in a world that is chaotic, beyond our control. And yet, in all of that, God can still be glorified. If a child like EJ dies, if a catastrophe comes as has come to Tacloban and to other parts of the Philippines, we never say, God wills it. This is not God's will. This is not God's plan. This was not God sending a typhoon to hit Tacloban. This was the result of the world in which God created and the world in which we live. Sometimes there is post-calamity counseling, and that is needed right now. But there also needs to be, by you who are young theologians, preemptive, pre-calamitous theological counseling. So that people do not raise those kinds of questions. Why, God, did EJ die? Why did my son die? And we blame it upon God and say something foolish like God willed it or God wanted EJ to be up in heaven with him. No, of course not. Never. We don't serve a God who is a monster and who manipulates diseases and storms in this world. Preemptive theological training of lay people will help us to avoid that kind of malicious teaching about the nature of God, a God who is always and ever love to you and to me and to those who are righteous and those who are unrighteous and those who are just and those who are unjust. It is the same God of love to all of us. Amen? And so when calamities occur, the best and the worst comes out of human nature. You saw that, didn't you? When you heard about the first relief trucks from the Red Cross trying to get to Tacloban, and they were intercepted by thieves and robbers, apparently. Can you imagine anything more horrendous in human nature than to prevent relief efforts from getting to Tacloban? Is that what human nature is like? The worst of us comes out. And in the middle of the calamities within Tacloban, we hear of looting and stealing, not for food, but of televisions and things like that from stores. The worst in human nature, taking advantage of this kind of situation. We hear of politicians wanting to be the ones to distribute the goods, whether it's just because they will be considered for votes in the next election, or whether it's even to steal those goods and replace them with cheaper goods and sell the more expensive goods at some other time and place. And they're entrusted with the public good. Calamities bring out the worst in human nature, don't they? The incredible inhumanity of humanity. I can imagine, though, if someone is hungry, wanting to steal and food, and if they're thirsty, wanting to steal water, and grab it from anywhere, anytime. I can understand that. If I were in that situation, I would be tempted, and how can I say that I wouldn't if I were truly starving and thirsty? But on the other hand, to take advantage of others in these situations only reveals the depth of human depravity. But at the same time, in the midst of a calamity as we have seen, it brings out not only the worst in human nature, but the best in human nature. We can see, as we saw in the video, the outpouring of compassion from not only Nazarene Compassionate Ministries, but others. I was a little bit embarrassed because what I wanted to say this morning to you all is that we should not be concerned and must not be concerned only about what happens to Nazarenes in that kind of place or what happens to Christians in that kind of place. We must have the same kind of perfect love as Jesus demands in verse 48 of chapter 5 of Matthew. Jesus says, "Be ye therefore perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect." And you know, you've heard it before, that Jesus is not saying, "Be omniscient, as your heavenly Father is omniscient," or "Be omnipotent, as your heavenly Father is omnipotent." But "as your heavenly Father is all of love." And as that fulfills the very nature of God, so also, in the same way, fulfill your own nature. And you who are made in the image of God have the same purpose and were created for the same reason, and that is to love your other people as yourself. And doing that and being that means loving your enemy as well as your friend. It means loving those who are not only your Kapit Bahai or Kapit Bayan, your neighbor or your fellow townmate or your fellow countrymate. It means showing love toward everyone, whether they're Nazarene, whether they're Free Methodist, whether they're Wesleyan, whether they're Baptist, whether they're Assemblies of God, whether they are Roman Catholic, whether they are Muslim. It doesn't matter. Perfect love loves all as God also loves all of us and sends his rain on the just and on the unjust, on the righteous and on the unrighteous. And as God loves fairly, so must we also love all. And so as we look at what we then must do, we look into our closets, and I hope you have been. And we look into our pocketbooks, and I hope that you will. I know that there is more than just singing, as we sang, and there is more than just praying. There is a response that involves doing. There's a philosophy, I guess you might say, of re-gifting. Sometimes that word is used, maybe you haven't heard it in this derogatory way, of getting some kind of gift that you really don't want from somebody, and then you wrap it up and give it to somebody else. That's re-gifting. Well, in a more positive way, all of us should be involved in re-gifting, because we all have received gifts. And all of you are here in one way or another on some kind of scholarship, some kind of sponsorship, some kind of support, even if you think of it in terms of the Church of the Nazarenes allocations that provide this operation. But all of us have been gifted by others. And it is time to re-gift, to give what we have been given, so that others who have literally nothing may have something. I admit, like many of you, my heart was to say, let me go. Let me go to Tacloban. Let me go to Ormoc. Let me go to Samar. One of our graduates, precious graduate, just retired, a former student, good friend, Ati Ildi Deitalo in Samar. Her house was devastated, destroyed with the whole town and many family members. She's an aunt to Glenn. And I wished just to go down with some others and visit and see and be there, but then realize at the same time that maybe that's not altogether wise. Because those who go, if there are hundreds or thousands of relief workers who go, they all need to eat. They all need to find something to drink. They all need to find some place to sleep. And so instead of all of us getting aboard a bus or truck, as would be our, in a sense, our impulse to do, the wiser thing is to send. To send our goods, to send our clothes, to go through our closets, not just once, and as I did, and I know I won't miss those clothes that I sent. Go through them twice again. Go through our pocketbooks and see if there isn't something more that we can give than we've given. And not only that, but to send. I know, I imagine that in the city of Antioch, as that great church began to get a vision for the gospel of Jesus Christ reaching the Gentiles, that there was energy within that church of many people who desired to go. But what did the church at Antioch do? It sent to and commissioned them with prayers, promises, and sent them on the great journeys that Paul and Barnabas had to plant the gospel seeds in Asia and Europe. And so this morning we have an opportunity in a moment of doing that. I learned so much about potatoes. I learned that there are two varieties, Mong Teddy said. One is the Mexican type, and he showed me the Mexican type of potato. And when the hail came down, that Mexican type was destroyed, devastated, it was dead. Sorry, that was the granola type. The granola type was destroyed. The Mexican type, he showed me already, where the branches or the stems of the Mexican type, where the hail had come down and cut it, there were already two emerging from that place that had been cut. The granola type, the potato underneath the plant, it was useless now. It wouldn't grow anymore. The plant underneath that of the Mexican type, it would grow. It would continue to mature. It would be harvested. In the storms of life that come, in the typhoons, in the challenges, in the calamities, without Christ in us, we will be devastated. We will be cut. We will die. But with Christ, when the storms come down, when the typhoons hit, something makes us stronger than we were before. Amen.